Well, hey, everyone, we're back for this week's culture segment and get to welcome back to the Boundless Show, Jamie Ivey. Jamie, welcome.
It's fun to be back with you guys.
It's great to have you back. And you're actually in studio. It's not often that we get all of our guests in studio all the time.
It's more fun this way, right?
Oh, it's a lot better.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, well, for those of you who are out there, many of you probably heard our previous episodes with Jamie on them, but she is the host of the popular weekly podcast, The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. She is the author of the book, If You Only Knew, My Unlikely, Unavoidable Story of Becoming Free, which is kind of what we talked about last time, a little bit of her testimony in that. She's also the wife of Aaron. She's a mom of, I think you have teenagers now, right?
I have three teenagers.
Okay.
So, and one preteen.
So that's just, so it's a miracle you're even here.
It's life, really. Right? Yes.
So that's great. And you're actually, so you're kind of in the throes of preparing them for young adulthood.
Yes, yeah. I am. And it's like awesome and scary at the same time.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. So, okay, well, kick us off, Jamie, by just giving us a brief recap. I want folks to make sure that they know a little bit about the book, If You Only Knew, a little bit of your story, because again, you know, you come on here and I give that kind of bio and people are going to be like, oh, okay, it's the preacher's wife and she's going to be here to just tell us about how to, like, you know, read through the entire Old Testament in 2 weeks. And
yeah, exactly.
So, but that's not kind of where you always were and where you were always doing life. So give us a little recap of even what we talked about last
time.
Yeah,
okay, recap of Jamie Ivey. Yeah. I grew up in a Christian home. I've been in church my whole entire life. Mm-hmm. So I was that church kid. And when I entered into high school, around my 16th year is when I just decided I was going to just find for more things to fill my heart. I didn't feel like I was getting what I needed from church or God or faith, however you want to word it. And it was then that I began to be sexually active with boys and began drinking. And that led to a lifestyle that I continued through high school. Into college, I kind of ditch the double life, because in high school I still went to church, I still did FCA, all the things, and then in college I became who I really wanted to be, which was just Jamie that parties and has fun and does her own thing. And so I lived that life for 2 years, got pregnant in college, had a miscarriage, moved home, and then God captured my heart at the Passion Conference in 1999, and that's where my life changed. Yeah, and then to go even further, I had some more failures, but ended up marrying my husband, Aaron, who was a pastor. So I am a pastor's wife. I may not be your typical pastor's wife. I think that's a good thing, though. So yeah, he's a worship pastor at our church, and I write and speak and do podcasts, and we have four kids.
Yeah. That's fun.
That's our life.
That's cool. Okay. Well, we want to talk a little bit about, you wrote an article or a blog post on your site where you talked really about engagement and two pieces of advice that you always give to engaged couples, born largely out of your own experience where you fought hard for, you know, what we at Boundless Hair would call sexual integrity or purity during your dating relationship, because he hadn't even kissed anyone when you guys started dating, and then you kind of, you know, had your past. So you're like, oh no, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. But you found that it was more difficult during engagement. Talk to us about that.
Isn't that crazy? Like, you can date forever and then you get a ring on your finger and all of a sudden you're like, let's just do this. We're so close. You know, yeah, my husband and I, we really fought for sexual purity, integrity when we were dating. He was the first guy I ever dated as a believer. And so it was the first experience for me to have a faith-based relationship, whereas we wanted that for each other to be pure and for our relationship going into marriage. So it was new for me. I was learning along the ways. But then we got engaged. And, you know, it's funny. We got engaged and we were going to get married a year later. And then we're like, no, 9 months. And then 6 months. And next thing you know, it's like 4 months. We're getting married in 4 months, as long as we can wait.
Shorten the time.
Yeah, shorten the time. And it was this feeling of, I felt so much more, not only committed to him, but more love. It just took everything to a different level. And we struggled during those 4 months to keep our relationship pure. Now, nothing bad happened. We were faithful to that commitment that we had made. But what I realized was, and I hear a lot from other friends, it wasn't just us, that there is something that happens when you realize I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this person. So kind of maybe some walls can come down, a little bit of boundaries get a little bit looser. Because you think, we're going to get married. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's important for us as Christians to fight for that purity. You know, I heard someone say the other day, they have kids that are in college. And like, well, I know they're probably having sex. It's just what college kids do. And that broke my heart, because I think there's more to that than just not having sex. I think there is something that we're creating this way of self-control. I mean, I've been married 17 years. And when I think about the self-control that's needed in a marriage, I feel like that is built sometimes in those waiting times when you're engaged, that you have to exhibit self-control. Mm-hmm. Of course you want to have sex with this person. We're human. We are sexual beings. Like, if I don't want to have sex with them, that might be a bigger issue than, mm-hmm. than what we're dealing with. But I think about, I mean, when you're married, there are going to be so many times you have to have self-control. If one of the spouses is deployed, or if someone works long, or they travel, or you just have four kids under four, or someone gets mm-hmm. ill, there are so many seasons that I want to know that our relationship was built on, we can control our sexual desires for a greater good.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, because that's one thing you say.
Oh, yeah, that's one of them. Yeah, that was one thing. Yeah.
Recognize how things are going to change physically. I want to get to point number two in just a minute here, but I also want you to kind of tag on to this one. What would you then say, like, you know, because I'll hear people and they'll say, okay, we're engaged and we're looking at like 3 years down the road and whatever. And you're just like, yeah, okay, that is super unrealistic.
You're going to have sex.
So that's super unrealistic. But I even hear from listeners who are like, we're just dating and we keep stumbling sexually. We're trying, you know, we've tried this, we've tried that, we've tried that. I mean, is it really, with all this trying, what would you say is your best advice for dating or engaged couples to just say, here's where you got to start if you're going to make it to the end line without just like white knuckling it and ending up a big mess, which you may. I mean, and there's that. But what would you say are your strategies for success?
I want to say is, like, the first thing I think you need to know is, why are you not having sex? Is it just to follow a rule? Is it just to say we didn't? Is it just to make your parents happy? Is it just to make God happy? Like, why are you not having sex? And so for me, the understanding of, I'm not having sex because I want to save myself the way God has asked me to. I want to be pure. I want to exhibit self-control. I want to come into this marriage knowing that I have fought sexual temptation. And so I think that if you're just saying, we're just going to check off some rules, rules are easy to break. And once you break it, it's just fun to keep breaking them. Mm-hmm. And so to change your mindset a little bit of, like, we're not just doing this because we're supposed to, but we're doing it out of a love for our Father who has set this up. And so there's that one thing. And then another thing is, man, you're going to have to like get weird. Like, you're going to have to set up boundaries that seem weird. Mm-hmm. For Aaron and I, my husband, when we were in, we had this rule a lot when we were dating, but when we were engaged, it became even more important. Is, this seems so weird, you guys, I know. And you're going to be like, Jamie, you're like a 40-year-old woman telling us this, but we weren't alone physically, hardly ever, especially at night. Mm-hmm. He lived in his own house, and I think I went there once, ever. And I know that seems weird, you guys. It seems so weird. But we just knew that that temptation would be too great. It would be too great as we put ourselves in situations where we didn't have to deal with that. Another one is, find a good friend that you can confide in. I mean, even like confide in some stuff that you might think, how am I going to say this out loud, what I'm feeling? But just say it out loud. The last thing I want to say is, if you fail, and you might, even if it's not all the way, but you have crossed a boundary that you said you weren't going to, the best thing that you can do is talk about it, pick yourself up, confess to the Lord, and move on. To not let yourself get so beaten down, because what happens is either shame takes over and you feel as though you're completely worthless, or you think, it wasn't that bad. Like, it's okay. It was just this. And so just really have an open conversation with your fiance and with the Lord about that.
Yeah, that's good. Your second point in the article that you make about engagement is that this is really a time to evaluate and realize that there's still an out here. This is not, and I think, you know, it's funny because we see celebrities get engaged and it's kind of like they're married. And so I think the line has been blurred in this idea of like, oh, well, now we're practically, or people start cohabiting or whatever, you know. So talk to us a little bit about how you would counsel people to say, evaluate where you are and don't sign up for something at a time period when you really do have the opportunity to get out if it's not right.
Some of my friends give me a hard time about this, but I have been known in a bride's dressing room on the day of her wedding to say, if you don't want to do this, I'll take you out. Hmm. And they're like, Jamie, how could you possibly do that to someone on their wedding day? I'm like, well, I need them to know that they don't have to do this. I was engaged at one point and had a dress, had a venue, had everything, and really started to feel like, I don't know if I can spend the rest of my life with this man. I don't know if this is the man for me. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit moved in me, that's all I can say, and that I said this out loud to someone, and it happened to be my dad. Like, I don't think I can do this. And he really was like, okay, well then break it off. Like, the worst thing you could do is go through with something you don't feel good about. And I'm not talking about like nerves of, am I going to get down the aisle okay? Is the caterer going to show up? Like those are like very common nervous things. But I'm talking that feeling of, I don't know if this is right. There's nothing better you could do than to get out in that engagement period. Because the worst that could happen is you spend 10 years with someone and end up getting divorced. Mm-hmm. And so I have... I remember the first time I did it was to my best friend. She's still my best friend today. Her name is Amy. And I went back and she was so mad at me. She was furious. She was like, why would you do this on my wedding day? I'm like, I'm your best friend. I just want you to know if this isn't it, let's go. Mm-hmm. And she's not mad at me anymore. But I've done it before just because I want someone to know if they're having that feeling and it's a real like not the first time they felt it, but they've been struggling with this. And now they're at their wedding day. It's OK. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it. And even into the engagement, you know, if you start to feel like, I don't think we're compatible, it's okay. You can get out of an engagement.
Yeah, that's cool. I want to turn a corner here because, as we mentioned at the front end of this segment, you are a podcast host. You have, I think, over 200 shows now under your belt total. You did 50-ish last year, and you had published on your site kind of some of your top shows from 2018. And this is really interesting to me because... You know, I host a podcast, and so it's always fun meeting people that are in similar shoes. And I always tell people, you know, I think because I've been now doing this for 10 years, and I'm like, every time I come in, I'm like, surely I've heard everything there is to hear on XYZ topic. And I'm like, are we doing this? We are talking about dating again. We're talking about, and then I like meet someone or I read someone's book and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so fascinating, or this is a unique story, or this is their own experience. And so it's a lot of fun. Do you have any, I mean, so I don't want to just focus on last year. Do you have any interviews just from the sum of you doing the show that you would say stand out to you for any reason in particular? Now, I know you mentioned that the ones where you bring Aaron on are your favorites, and so there is that. But is there anything just from the past that you were kind of like, maybe you didn't know who the person was, or maybe you just read their book or, you know, seen some stuff, and you're like, I've now met a friend, yeah. Or I had my opinion changed on something, or yeah.
I've had phenomenal women on my show. I mean, I feel as though, and you probably feel this way as well, I adore my job, and it is an honor to get to hear people's stories. I believe stories change the world. And so I believe that when people come on my show, and I know you feel this way too, that their story matters, and it just helps someone else see their stories. One of my most, I say one of my guests that I didn't know who she was really at first. Her name's Sally Lloyd-Jones. Hmm. She wrote the Jesus Storybook Bible. Mm-hmm. I knew that about her, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So I call her my most surprising guest because I loved our conversation so much. She talked about art and children and creativity. One of my favorite shows recently that I've done is with Lisa Turkhurst, and she came to my studio and we chatted, and it was a really vulnerable conversation about disappointments mm-hmm. and walking through that. And so that was fun. Jackie Hill Perry has been mm-hmm. on, and one of last year's. Jackie came on, and you know, for that show, I honestly kind of braced myself for a reaction from listeners, and I got great reaction from it. It was one of my favorite shows, and clearly the listeners loved it as well. I think it was a very teaching show for people. Mm-hmm. If you don't know Jackie's story, she used to be a homosexual, and so she's come out of that. And so it was great. So I've had great, great interviews. Some of my favorites, too, have just been people that you might not even know their names, mm-hmm. but they're coming on and sharing their story about how God redeemed them from, I've seen people redeemed from, you know, having 5 abortions before they're 19, and sex trafficking and prostitution and alcoholism and affairs and all kinds of things. So it's, I love my job so much.
Yeah, it's cool. Now, it is also tricky, though, because you're kind of, you know, being an author and a speaker and a host and stuff, you're a little bit public. And so you kind of sometimes you have to put yourself out there a little bit. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners are like, oh, well, I want to know what Jamie's reading, or I want to know what Jamie's learning, or I want to know how does she, you know, parent, or how does she do whatever. What would you say, you know, a lot of our in our audience, again, we're talking about young adults here, one thing they love to know, especially in a new year, as we're kind of a little ways into a new year now, is What's just a great way to stay on track spiritually from someone who's a few steps ahead of me, who's had their ups and downs, who's had their doubts with God, who's, you know, messed up maybe just once in life. but what would you say is your advice to younger adults, Jamie, on just, you know, maybe what you're looking forward to doing this year just as to stay close to the Lord?
I would say sometimes I think we take off more than we can handle. Like at the beginning of the year, everyone's like, you know what? I'm going to read through the entire Bible in 2 months. Mm-hmm. Or I am going to memorize 17 scriptures every week, or I'm going to feed the homeless 4 days a week. And I think that one thing that we can do is set realistic goals for ourselves, you know, set realistic achievements. Even just myself this year, I have a goal to read through the Bible this year. But the thing that's going to help me is I'm doing it with a girlfriend. Hmm. And so there's accountability. It's even on my calendar every Monday at 11 a.m. to check in with her. Mm-hmm. And that accountability is not like, oh, I can't believe that you're 3 days behind. But the accountability is like, how is it going? Where's the struggle come in? Where is this getting hard? And so I think a lot of times it's we like to do things with friends is to find that accountability. You know, people do that when they're trying to lose weight. Let's do it together, you know? And so we can apply that to our spiritual life as well. Can you hold me accountable? Can you hold me accountable to do whatever it is that you're looking for? And really, I think sometimes we can take that and like, we like find this accountability. When we use, like you, old school, they should be like, who's your accountability partner? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I think it could just be more like, hey, can we just check in with each other mm-hmm. and know that there are going to be times when we check in and go, I haven't read my Bible in 5 days. And them to go, okay, what are some things that you see or your hurdle? Like just honest conversations and not like, wow, 5 days was probably the limit. I can't be your accountability partner anymore because I would have never thought you would go 5 days without reading your Bible. But to have that honest conversations with you. So I think that's it. Take slow steps and have accountability.
Yeah. I like that idea, too, of, you know, be realistic and what works for you. Because I have a great friend who's way into the daily audio Bible. And she does it every night before she goes to bed. And she's like just learning tons. And I'm like, I can't even be awake and do the daily audio Bible. Right. I'm just like onto something else. I'm on, unless I'm just like have headphones on and I'm listening. And then I'm like, what's the point? I can read my Bible. Like for me, I have to do something that has like homework related to it. So I do studies and I know that I do homework. And especially if I'm in a Bible study where they're doing a similar thing and we're going to discuss it, that's really helpful for me staying on track. But, you know, this friend is just determined she's going to get me on the daily audio Bible.
That is
and I'm
so
like,
funny.
No, I'm not spiritual enough for the daily audio Bible. Okay. So just deal with it. That's pretty funny. So, okay, what about other goals for the new year since we love talking to people about
for
goals?
Myself?
Yeah,
or?
Just for life.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say? What are you looking forward to in this year?
Me personally?
Yep.
Okay, well, one of mine is, this sounds so dumb, but I just want to move my body more.
Okay.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I'm 40.
We're not getting a good start here. We're both just sitting
it's
in
okay.
chairs.
I went to the gym this morning at the
oh,
hotel. So
awesome.
I have got my good start.
Oh, my goodness.
So
okay.
I want to move my body more, which I'm not trying to run a marathon. I'm not trying to lose weight. Losing weight would be awesome, but I'm not trying to. I just am looking around going, I put a lot of things above my health. I work. I have 4 kids. And so just putting in the time even to walk around my neighborhood for 35 minutes a day, mm-hmm. that seems like not that much, but that's kind of my mindset this year is I just want to move more. And so I travel a lot for work. And so I decided I'm going to pack workout clothes and I'm going to pack them. And so I'm going to use them. And so this morning, you know what I did? I went to the gym at 6:15 and walked. And I'm so proud of myself.
That's good.
Thank you. Thank
okay.
you for being proud too.
That's
but
good.
I want to move more. I am doing the year long read your Bible. And I think I'm only 2 days behind. So see, there's that.
That's good.
But I catch up where I am. And you know what? You know how I do it?
That
I
means
listen
you're
to
7 days in.
That's
you're
right.
Like 2 days
I know. Thank you. Thank you. But I listen to it. So
uh-huh.
it's
okay.
helping me. It's helping me. I listen to it in the mornings.
Yeah. See, that's good. Now, do you, and I like that because like you said, I packed my workout clothes and I walked. And it's not like, so I had to learn all these like HIIT workouts and stuff. I mean, that's
listen,
I, think
I don't have time to learn anything. I know how to walk. I can do it. Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just want to finish by saying, because we had talked about you having kids and 3 of them are teenagers, you are preparing them for young adulthood. What would you say now is in your head as far as like when my kids leave the house, hit the road, or on their own, they need to be equipped with this? What are
oh
the things?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, oh my gosh, so many things. The first thing that comes to my mind is I want my kids to know when they leave that when they fail, because they will, that they know that mom and dad are in their corner. I think we're teaching them that now in our home. One thing that we're really passionate about is letting our kids fall while they're under our roof. Ooh. You know, I want them to fall flat on their face when they're under my roof so that I can be there to help them. I can't be their savior, but I can point them to the one who is. And so our hope, as much as it sounds awful, is I want my kids to fail in my home. Mm-hmm. I want them to fail so that we can show them what it means to pick up, look to Jesus, and take hold of his grace. And so I hope, thinking about my kids leaving, is I want them to know that when they do fail, that mom and dad are still there. We may be a phone call away or a car ride away, but I want them to know that we're in their corner. And so, gosh, I hope they know that as they are in my home now and when they get older. Yeah.
That's a good goal to have, and I'm sure they'll be equipped for that.
So. I hope so.
Awesome. Okay, folks, we've been talking to Jamie Ivy. You can obviously find her at Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, Ivy, I-V-E-Y .com, and we'll have links to that as well as to her book here on our site. So make sure, in fact, if you want to go to boundless.org, just search 577, that is this show, and you can get a copy of the book right there. So Jamie, it's always great when you stop by. Thanks for doing that.
I always love stopping by. Yay. With you guys.
Very fun.